Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi. Zvachim Daf Mem Aleph. We begin seven lines off the top of the Amud, right in the middle of a Braisa. The Braisa is going to focus on that Pasuk. The Pasuk in Vayikra, Dalad Pasuk Chaf. It reads like this. So this is within the discussion of the various karbonos, internal karbon chatos. We have the par kohen mashuach, so that's the par that the anointed kohen, the kohen gadol, will bring upon sinning. We have the par he'elim davashal tzibur, the community at large will bring for transgressing something serious by way of the erroneous verdict of the bezin. So in this pasuk, which actually is addressing the par helem davash al tibur, it sort of repeats itself. It says va'osa la par, you should apply to this par. So what process should be done to this carbon chatas? By the way, these are all internal carbonized chatas, which means that the their bloods are applied internally in the mizbeach apnimi, some even in the kodesh hakodashim. So he should do to this par, the par helem davar, kasher also the same that was done to the other one. The parachatas, which is referring to the previously discussed parachatas, which is the par koin mashuach, which seems like a repetition because it already explained in great detail what to do in terms of this one. So why, again, do to this one like you did to the other one? The Gemara explained yesterday, the day before. The point is to emphasize how critical all these details are. You must follow them without omitting anything. So the pasuk continues, "Vasal apar kasher osel parachatas ken yaseloi v'chiper alei makoyin v'slach lahem." So yesterday we had a brisa, Tana d'Rebbe Shmuel, which analyzes pasuk for us, and on the word lapar, which is a repetition, because we already know that it's a par. Lapar ze par helam davar shel tzibur. Telling you, it's referring to the par helam davar. And the question is, of course, that's the context of our discussion today. The Psukim here talk about Parhelem Davar Shel Tzibur explicitly. So why refer to it again in a sort of, hidden way, in a hinting way? Lapar means the Parhelem Davar Shel Tzibur. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean, ha? B'tzibur beguf eksiv. Well, obviously we're talking about the Parhelem Davar. Why make another reference to the Parhelem Davar? Omar Papa, I'll tell you why. It's not needed for its own sake. You're right. The Torah had already described in great detail what to do by the Parhelem Davar. The point is to enable us to apply some details to a different carbon. The Yeseres Ushtea Kloyes, different parts of the animal that are meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The Torah spells them out. By which carbon? By the par koyin mashuach. And by extension, by way of comparison, v'asala par kasher asala par achatas, we know that everything that happens to the par koyin mashuach happens to the par helem davar. That's not enough, because there's another carbon that we need to apply it to. Where it doesn't say that the Yeseres and Shtei Akleis, Yeseres is part of the liver, Shtei Akleis are the kidneys, belongs in the Mizbeach. How do we know that the Soir of Avodah Zarah, the Tzibur sinned in Avodah Zarah, the main Soir, how do we know that that applies to that carbon as well? As we're going to see later, we know it by way of a hekesh, a connection. The Pasuk elsewhere in Pasha Shlach, in discussing the Avodah Zarah carbon, compares it to the Par Helam Dam. Whatever applies to Par Helem Davar, i.e. Yeseres Eshtei Akleis on the Mizbeach, applies to the Soir of a Desert. But the thing is that when it comes to Karbonis, we can't make a double import, a double connection. Take an item from point A, bring it to point B, and then shift it over to point C, such as Yeseres Eshtei Akleis, which is originally stated by the Par Koyim Mashuach, and then exported over to the Par Helem Davar by way of a Hekesh. We can't take that material and now export it further by way of another connection, another hekesh, to the Soyer of Avodah Zarah. So how do we get to our destination? How do we know that in fact Yeseres de'Akleis applies to they have a desire of carbon. The answer is like this. Lapar is a parallel dovah shel tzibur. But the Torah going ahead and repeating again, making another reference in this pasuk to parallel dovah, which is an unnecessary reference, since that is the context of our discussion. We already know that we're speaking about that carbon. The point is to emphasize and repeat him again. So that this extra mentioning of the parallel dovah accomplishes as follows. It accomplishes that whatever halach is, we have imported to the parhelim davar from the parkein meshuach, such as yisiras hashteya kleis going on the mizbeach, is now not considered like a derivation. It's not considered like an imported item. Considered like a local item. And that's the point of repetition. This is parhelim davar shel tzibur. This is the package, including yisiras hashteya kleis. And now, it allows us to export this sort of local item, this Yisiras Hashteya Kleis, which has now been incorporated into the Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibur as an original item, as a local item. It can now be exported over to the carbon of Avodah Zarah. Hence we know that by Soir Avodah Zarah, likewise Yisiras Hashteya Kleis are put on the Mizbeach. Okay, so the question was, why repeat? This is the purpose. Amar Papa Mishum the boy, because very soon there's going to be a need, Agmuri, to learn Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, an element which is related to the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, i.e., which element? Biyaseros Shdeakleis, those two parts that go on the Mizbeach. We're going to have to take that and export it. L'siri Avedis Kecham to the Avedizara carbon. But the issue is, it's a double export. It's a double connection, which you can't do by karbanos. In reality, this element is not clearly stated by the parhelim davar. Rather, by Keisha Asim. He himself acquires it through a hekesh. He brings it in from the parkai Mashiach. In which case, it wouldn't work now to turn around and export it further. That's why we need the word lapar in this pasuk, an extra word, an extra reference to parhelim davar. What does that accomplish? Let me have it. It now accomplishes kiman deksib be'gufei, as though it's all written within itself, locally within parhelim davar. This is the parhelim davar with all its components. It becomes local. It is no longer regarded as imported material, which now allows us to export that local material over to another carbon. It's only considered a single export rather than a double. But Lelihavi, in which case we avoid the issue of davar, of an item, halamed behekish, which is derived through a hekish, one connection, chayzer halamed behekish, to now have to go be exported further through another hekish. We avoid that issue. We avoid the double hekish. It's not a double hekish anymore. It's a single hekish. Here's the parallel davar shel tzibur. Here he is with all his components, irrespective of where he learned those things from. It's been relabeled, repackaged, so to speak, as parallel davar material, which allows us to now do a single export to the Soir Avodah Zarah. Tanik Vasid Rav Papa. In fact, we have a riot Rav Papa that this is the correct pshat. So again, we're back to the pasuk va'asa, v'asa lapar, kasher asa, right? Matam alim lapar, why the word lapar? It's obviously a par. And the answer is, as we just explained, the vishen namar. Because if we go over to Parshas Shlach, the Soir of Avodah Zarah, where it says, ve'mevius karboni ishel Hashem, so part of the carbon is, you know, ishel Hashem is burnt on the Mizbeach. Which part? The pasuk continues, v'chatosam l'fnei Hashem al shigigosam, which Rashi says is an extra expression. It's coming to teach us something. Chatosam elu s'iro v'dizkechavim. The word chatosam is obviously going back on the carbon, the carbon of Avodah Zarah, which is the topic of discussion there. The word shigigosam, extra expression, a different carbon. Zer parhelam davar shel tzibur. It's related to the other carbon. What's the point of bringing that in here? into our, you know, discussion. The answer is chatosim al shigasim. The carbon of avodah zarah is processed in similar fashion to a carbon called shigigosim. Rashi explains, which is the parallel of Shal Tzibor. Why? As we find over there, Vim kol adas Yisrael yishgu, loshen yishgu, was an erroneous sin, a mistaken aver. So shigigosim is that type of carbon. Why this connection between us and them? Omro Torah is telling us now, chatosim harei lochash kishigigosim. But the same process that applies to shigigosim, i.e., the Yeseres and Shteyakleis, burnt on the Mizbeach, likewise, to our carbon of a desire called Chatos. But the question is, Hel and Dover only got it from elsewhere. He can't turn around and export it again. Shigigosim Eichel Amanto. How did the parallel and Dover learn what to put on the Mizbeach? How do you know it? Loi Behekesh. Was it not through a hekesh from Parkoy Mashuach, V'chidovar, Lamed Behekesh, if that's correct? Since when can you take an item derived through a hekesh, Choyzer, Umalamed Behekesh, turn around and export it with another hekesh? That's the issue here. Solution is Tamleme Lapar. That's why in the Pasuk over here in Parshas V'ikra, Dalet Chav, it says the word Lapar, which is extra. Zer Paralim Davashal Tzibor. To repeat him, to repackage him, it becomes his. Further in the pasuk, lapar, the parakay Mashiach. So now we have a full connection in between Helam Davar and Mashiach, which allows us to repackage whatever we learn from Mashiach and make it internal, relabel it as par material. We sort of disregard his point of origin that he came from elsewhere. No, now he's local. Oh, once he's local, he can export it further to the Sar of Adisar. So now we know that the Yeseres and Shtei Akloyes are put on the Mizbeach, but the Sar of Adisar just as the Parallel Mdavar Shatzibu, and just as the Parakoy Mashiach. Amamar. So let's go back and just relearn what we just said. Chatosim Elu Shatzir Avetz Kechavim. Chatosim is the Avodazara carbon, and Al Shigigosim connects him to the parallel of Davashal Tzibor, which enables us to spread, you know, the information around. Now the question is, back in Pashas Vayikra Dalet, Pasuk Chav, in that long Pasuk, which is the topic of our discussion the last couple of days, right? V'osal apar, kash osal apar, achatas, etc., etc. We already said that the word hachatas in that original pasuk, not a pasuk shlach, which discussed Avodah Zarah, back in pasuk Vayikra Dalet, pasuk Chav, the word hachatas is in fact a reference to Sar Avodah Zarah. So in that pasuk itself, we already accomplished that connection. We have that pair up between Sar Avodah Zarah and the other kabbalas. So we know that Yiseros and Shtei Akleis applies all around. Why a new connection over here in pasuk shlach? Ask the Gemara, typically mikro kama, you can derive the same point from the original pasuk. The Amar Maz, we learned, the word hachatas in that pasuk is the rabbis. And guess what? It's coming to include this very carbon, Sir Avedis Kechavim. So just as you learn a type of blood applications, you can also learn what to put on the Mizbeach, the Yeseres and Shtei Akleis, from that pasuk. We learned that Sir Avedis Zara conforms to the process of the other Karbanis. Amar of Papa Istrich, no, we need a new connection regarding Yeseres and Shtei Akleis. Why? Sagadat Achmina, perhaps I would think, I would contemplate, and say, sure, that Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra connects the Sar Avodah Zarah to the other ones, Hanibil, only with respect to Hazois, to the blood applications, L'Ksivim Gufei, which are stated in the actual psukim that describe the process of the Parhelam Dover. So very nice. Whatever applies to Parhelam Dover applies to Sar Avodah Zarah. Avo, but regarding what material belongs in the Mizbeach, like the Yeseres or Shtei Akleis, like Sivan Begufei, which the Torah did not clearly articulate within the discussion of the Parhelam Dover, as we explained, because he learned it from the other carbon, from the Yikayim Mashuach. So maybe that cannot be transferred over to the Sarah Avodah Zarah. Emily, perhaps that's not going to transfer. And that's why we require a new connection over here in Pasha Shlach between Sarah Avodah Zarah and Parhelim Dover. Kamashman comes and tells us that whatever applies to Parhelim Dover, including the Mizbeach, you know, materials, applies to Sarah Avodah Zarah. Okay, so in a nutshell, back in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf, we have the Pasuk, Va'asa Lapar, Kasher Asa Laparachatas, Kenyasa Loi, etc., etc. According to this version, which is the Brisa we had on the Memo of Beis, this was the second Brisa addressing this, analyzing this Pasuk. This was in addition to the first Brisa back on the Memo of Aleph. But according to the second Brisa, the word Lapar here is Parhelim Dover Shal Tzibur. Why repeat Parhelim Dover again? In order to consider the material as his, which allows us now to extend it over to Sarah Avodah Zarah, but we have the other connection of Parsha Shlach, where we have another connection between Avodah Zarah and Parhelim Dover. So we learn not only the Azois, the various blood applications apply to Avodah Zarah just as Parhelim, also regarding Mizbeach material such as Yisrael Shtei Akleis. Now, we may recall that back on the Mem, Rav Papa told us regarding the Yom Kippur Karbonis that really we already know that the Par and Sar of Yom Kippur, which are also internal Karbonis Chatas, you know, all their blood applications are critical. We have the Pasuk of Akila Mechaper, we have Chukah, they're absolutely non-negotiable. Rather, the reason why the Pasuk mentioned Par Yom Kippur in the context of this emphasis, repetition Pasuk, was for just a couple of details, which were not really explicitly stated by Par Yom Kippur, and needs to be learned from the other Karbonis. There were three items in total, one called S, regarding the growth on his finger, that's not considered a barrier when he dips his finger into the blood. We have Dam, Badam, that the amount has to be a proper amount of blood. As soon as he's, you know, going to collect the blood, there has to be enough there to dip your finger. And also, Betvila, that he has to actually dip his finger in. So three halachas, which we have to learn over to the Par Yom Kippur from the other Karbanis. And that's why we have this double mention. That's why the Pasuk refers to Par Yom Kippurim, but not regarding the you know, the basic requirements that we already know. Amalei Rav Huna b'Rav Nosson Rav Papa. So yes, the kasha to Rav Papa. Really? Generally, Yom Kippur is addressed. We already know that everything is critical. It's just for these little, you know, added details. V'atana, but we have the Brisa back on the Memam Beis, where it says it a bit differently. It says Par Yom Kippurim l'chama shama b'inyan. Kamar. The Brisa clearly says that the reference to the Par Yom Kippurim is in order to learn everything, including the, you know, the basic facts that the Hazois, the various blood applications are critical. He learns everything from the other Korbanos. You're telling me it's only for, you know, some specifics. So he says Tanoi. There are two versions, two Tanoi, two Brises, in terms of how much you have to learn and how much you don't. We have Tana Devei Rav, the first Brice in Bekah, Daf Memem and Aleph, which was called Tana Devei Rav, Rashi says. A regular Brice is called Tana Devei Rav, a Brice I learned in a base medrash, which only requires some details to be learned. Mar Bihachi only learns, includes some details, Tana Devei Rav Shmuel. The other Brice in Daf Memem and Beis, which was studied in the base medrash of Rav Shmuel, like Mar Bihachi, doesn't include it this way. According to him, we need to learn everything on this pasuk to teach us that even the blood applications are critical by Yom Kippur as well. Okay. Now, we have another brisa from the Rebbe Shmuel. A bit of more of a vagada type of a brisa. Why do we find this discrepancy? If we take a look at the pesukim, we'll find an interesting contrast between the way the Torah describes the process of the Parhelim Dover, which is a community oriented carbon, when the whole community sins, versus the Par Kohen Mashuach, which is a local private carbon that a Kohen Gadol brings upon a sinning. Why do we find certain discrepancies, differences in language between the two, even though in reality they both pretty much follow the same, you know, process? So why the difference in the way that we, you know, in the way they're described? Tana Dvei Rav Shmuel, Ma Nemru, Yoseru, Shtei HaKlayos. Parakai Mashiach. Why is it that when it comes to Parakai Mashiach, the Torah itemizes the Yoseres and Shtei HaKlayos of that carbon to the Mizbeach, V'loi Nemru B'Paralim Dovash HaTzibur, and it's not mentioned, it's totally omitted, it's ignored by the Paralim Dovash HaTzibur, even though the process in reality is identical, as we just explained. It's on purpose. Mashal Melech Basav Adam. Imagine a king, a human king, Shazam al Ayavai. He got upset at his good friend. So when it came to describing his misdeeds, he minimized. He didn't elaborate. He cut short. In order to, keep it sort of under wraps. Umiyat Bisrachayna, he minimized. In describing his wrongdoing. Why? Because of his closeness to him. Mechibasa, because of his dearness. Likewise, in terms of Paralam Davash Al-Tzibo, which is a community sin, Rashi says that's called Oyavoy, where Hashem is beloved. So Hashem minimized discussion, even though technically, in terms of the process, the same exact process applies to this carbon as to the other carbon, the Parakai Meshuach of a Kohen Gadol. B'tana Deir Ishmael, another difference in the way the Torah presents the two carbonis. Mipnei ma, why is it so? Nem reparechas hakodesh, parkoyin mashiach. Once again, in terms of where and how you apply the blood of both carbonis, they're identical. In both carbonis, mashiach and helam davar, the blood is applied on the parechas, on the curtain of the kodesh hakodesh. Well, you find a difference in the way the Torah describes the parechas amongst the two karbanis. By Parkoy Mashiach, on account of the Kohen Gadol's sin, the Torah refers to it as a parechas, the holy parechas. Its status remains intact. But it doesn't describe it this way in the context of the Parhelam Davash HaTzibur. Over there, the Torah switches and calls it parechas, as Pnei parechas, and omits the word Kodesh. Why is that? Once again, it's a mashal, analogy, L'melech Basav Adam, to a king. A human king, Shesar Chal Medina. So the country turned their back on him, rebelled against him. So it depends. Depends to what extent. Im Mi'uta Sarcha, if only a minority, a small percentage, soured. Pamalia Shalei Miskayemes. Rashi explains Pamalia, his cabinet, his ministers. He maintains good relations with his ministers. Because it was only just a couple of citizens. It wasn't reflective of all the subjects. Im ruba sarcha, but of most of the country, took a turn away from him. There goes his government. There goes his relationship with his ministers. He's now suspicious of everybody. They lose favor in his eyes. Ein pamali shalem iskayim. His pamali, his government, his entourage, his advisors. They lose favor in his eyes. He no longer retains his relationship with them. Likewise, kal v'yachol over here. If it's only the Kohen Mashiach, who's one man, as special and important as he is, the Kedusha, the Shechina, is retained, is maintained, Parechas HaKodesh. Not so when it's the Tzibur. It now is called Parechas, but the Kedusha, the Shechina, is somewhat affected. It loses its title, HaKodesh. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah. L'fichach amnasim kulin ketiknan. So back to the Halacha of Pigel. And the Mishnah makes a contrast, a difference between the internal carbon chatas and the external carbon chatas. An external carbon chatas, whose blood is placed on the external mizbeach, there, even though one is required to place four portions of blood on all four corners, but if only one was done, not the rest, the carbon passes. Likewise, how do we make pigel? Pigel needs to accompany any part which is critical, any part which is called mater. Mater is the avoda regarding the blood, which permits the carbon, which enables the carbon, which activates the carbon, enables it for further consumption to the mizbeach, to the kohanim, to the people, enables the carbon to be eaten. So the machshava pigel, which with the kohen is expressing his thought, his intention, to have the carbon fed and processed in the wrong time, chus is man, that makes it pigel. The carbon is now pasul, if one eats it, it's chayv karas. That pigel scheme has to accompany the matter, the part of the process, the avoda which is critical to the success of the carbon. So in terms of the mizbeach, the carbon hachitzen, the chatas hachitzen, even if the pigel was only present during one matana, during one blood application, that's sufficient to make pigel, because only one is really critical. Versus the internal carbon chatas, where all four applications are critical. So, in order to generate pigel, a successful pigel, so to speak, the pigel has to accompany, has to be present by all four applications. But suppose he thought pigel during one application and forgot pigel by the rest. There's no pigel. Because pigel has to encompass the entire avoda of the matter, entire process involving the blood. Whether during Kabbalah, or during Halacha, or during Zrika, what we call the Yazoh, Matanos, applications on the Mizbeach. So again, the Mishnah says, Lefichach, therefore, since the internal Kol Merchatas requires all four applications, and they're critical, so Pigel has to accompany all four applications. But if Nasan Kulin Ketiknan, suppose he applied for 1, 2, 3 application Ketiknan properly, without Pigel, and he only introduced Pigel at the fourth application. That's not Pigel. There's no curse upon eating the carbon. So now also, we have an interesting Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. Again, regarding Pigel, but not regarding an animal carbon, rather a mencha, flour, oil carbon, where the Kohen would scoop, he would do a kmitza, scoop out the some of the dough, and burn on the mizbeach. Likewise, he would take a scoop of levaina, a certain amount of incense, and put it on the mizbeach as well. So in a way, there's really a double matter. There are two materials that have to be burnt on the mizbeach, that are hooked on the mizbeach, which are required for the success of this carbon. One is the aktaras hakoimetz, burning of the koimetz on the mizbeach, and one is the aktaras levaina. Now suppose pigel only accompanied one of the two. So while he was burning the koimetz, he's thinking pigel, but not during the levaina, or vice versa. What happens? Then some pigel by koimetz. Pigel was by the koimetz, but not by burning the levaina, or vice versa. But levaina by koimetz. He had it during the levaina, but not by the koimetz. Is there a pigel? Remember a pigel. Sure, pigel v'chayvam kares. It's full pigel with kares. We'll see in a minute why. V'chacham oimim no, aim by kares. There's no pigel here. Achi yifagel v'chal amater. By the way, the carbon still becomes possible, but according to Rabban, there's no pigel, there's no kares. It doesn't acquire that severe deficiency status of pigel until achi yifagel b'chal matir, until the pigel is present throughout the entire matir. In this case, during the haktara of the koimetz and the levaina, which are basically two halves of the matir. So Chachamim is pretty clear. There's no pigel until the pigel encompass the entire matir process. But according to Rav Meir, how would you learn Rav Meir's shita? Is it that Rav Meir allows pigel to come about even if the pigel was only present during half the matir? Or, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, no, wait time of time to Rav Meir, don't entertain that in fact Rav Meir holds the kasavar mefaglin b'chati matir. Even if the pigel was present during half the matir, while he was processing half of the permitter, during the koimetz, not in levaina, etc., that's sufficient to make pigel. No, that's incorrect. Rather, the reason why it's pigel in this case is because he began with pigel. He started. He did the koimetz with pigel. We assume he's just carrying on. In which case, the entire matir was done with a pigel in mind. Elachah, my skin was speaking. He placed the kemes on the mizbeach with a machshava of pikul. Lavoina b'shtika, but the second item, lavoina, he did quietly. Now, what's going on through his mind? Says Rav Meir Kasava, we hold kol oisa al das v'shen oisa. When he continues, he's doing what the original mindset. So of course there was pikul throughout. Big chiddush from Rish Lakish. Don't think going to Rav Meir half is enough. Even Rav Meir agrees. Just like the Rabban, you need the entire process with pikul. How do you have it? It's assumed. When you start with pikul, unless you state otherwise, it's assumed. You're just continuing on that mindset. How do I know that's the correct approach to Rav Meir? That's a huge chiddush. How do we know this is true? Midiktani. Look at our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Therefore, nosam kulam katiknam. So we're speaking about an internal karma chatas, which requires four applications. Right? One per quana. One, two, three, four. Mishnah says, im nosam kulam katiknam. First, second, third katikn was done properly. And we're assuming katiknam means properly, without any interfering thoughts. Va'achas. However, the last one, number four, shlai katikna, improperly was done pigal. What does the Mishnah say? Is there a pigal? No. Came too late. Possible, they make curse. Of course, it's possible. There's no curse. Let's infer from here. But, suppose, if instead of pigal coming in at number four, it would have come at number one and stopped there. But if number one would be improperly, i.e. pigal, and then he just, didn't express himself throughout two, three, and four. The kulon and the rest katiknam properly, it is pigal. So if one is pigal, even though two, three, and four were not expressed, it's presumed to be pigal. Now, who's speaking? Who's the author of this halacha? Mani ilay merabon, is it the rabbanon? Of course not. Ha'amri, they just told us. The rabbanon just told us in the mission there. If you start and do the kaimitz with pigal, and you were quiet by the levoina, it's not pigal. Imafagla machatzimad, you can't do pigal with half the matter. We don't assume anything, we don't. So clearly this Mishnah wouldn't be the Shitas Rabbanon. Ella, the only option is Rav Meir. Now, once again, we have two ways to understand Rav Meir. Half is enough, or no. You need it all, but it's assumed. Now, if you'll take on the first approach, the original approach, quantum mayor, half is enough. Then fagam chatzimatu, so afilu kudetani namis. Even in the case of the Mishnah where 1, 2, 3 were silent and pigal came in at number four, there too we should have pigal because there was pigal present during part of the matter. Mishnah doesn't say that. Mishnah says there's a huge difference between when 1, 2, 3 were done silently, and number 4 was pigal, in which case it's not pigal, versus when number 1 was pigal, and 2, 3, and 4 were done silently, there it's pigal. What's the difference? Lav mishum the kasar. Apparently, because he holds, you need pigal present. But you don't need it expressed. Presumed is enough. Kalaisa, when he continues, Aldasu Shanaisa, he's doing it. He's carrying on. The same mindset as the first one. So that proves our point. Amar of Shom Ravitzach, no, not so quick. Leilam Rabbanani. No. Perhaps our mission is going like the Rabbanan. When the mission says, 1, 2, 3, were done ketiknan, it doesn't mean like you thought properly, kosher wise. Just the opposite. Ketiknan means it was done with a proper pigle in mind. We're talking about pigle today. It was done properly pigle wise. He had a machshava pigal doing 1, 2, and 3. Umay ketikon, yon ketikon means ketikon le pigal. 1, 2, and 3 without a pigal in the mind. That's all the Mishnah is saying. It still doesn't work because he didn't do number 4 with pigal. So it's not Rav Meir speaking, and therefore it wouldn't shed light on the way we understand Rav Meir's Shita. Ask the Gemara, one second. Let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. 1, 2, and 3, ketiknan. And the fourth, shaloi ketiknan. But according to this new understanding in the Mishnah, you're learning that 1, 2, and 3 were done properly, pigal-wise, meaning there was pigal there, and the fourth was just he was just silent. So why does the Mishnah call it shaloi ketiknan, which almost sounds like there's something improper there, there's some sort of interfering thought. It was just an absence of. Why are we calling it Shalai Katiknan? From the Ketani, but the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah, we see, Lefichach, Ibnasan Kulante Ketiknan, Va'achash Leketiknan, the fourth, Shalai Ketiknan, which you're learning means just he was quiet. Possible with Kurus, it's possible without Kurus. It doesn't sound like he was just quiet. It sounds like number four was problematic. It was something improperly done there. Versus the first three, which were done properly. So it sounds more like Mechlal, the Tikna, when it says the Tikna on the first two, three, the Lech Sheruhu was done properly, not improperly, pigle-wise. Lech Sheruhu does. Well, yes, as the Gemara Rava, I'll tell you what the Mishnah means when it says number one was done, number four was done Shleika Tikna. It means to say that he inserted some other interfering thought. So again, one, two, and three were done Ketikna means pigle. And the fourth, he did, you know, Shalei L'mkaimai or Shalei L'shmai, some sort of other interfering thought which disrupts the pigle. My Shalei Ketikna Chus L'mkaimai. He had a mind, you know, the wrong place. Instead of the wrong time, the wrong place. Rav Ashi Yamar, another example, Shalei L'shmai, was a chatas. He had a mind, the wrong carbon. So that's also an interfering, deficient thought. One second, says the Gemara. But let's say, okay, fine, granted. Let's say he would not have had that additional interfering thought. The fourth one was done benignly, without any interfering thoughts. You're implying that it's pigle? Due to the fact that 1, 2, and 3 were done with pigle? Mechlal, you mean to say, Dichlai Ovid Lei Chusim Kaimai? Vishal Lishmai Mechayev? Had he not inserted that new, you know, deficient, interfering thought at number 4 of Chusim Kaimai, Vishal Lishmai, then it would be pigle due to 1, 2, and 3 done with pigle? Well, that's incorrect, because you're telling me, according to Rabbanan, it's only going to be pigle if pigle accompanies the entire matir, which it didn't in this case. It's missing number 4. So the Gemara, you're right. Even if it's done benignly, it would not be pigle, because there was no active expression of pigle on all 4. So why did the Mishnah present it this way, which almost sounds otherwise? Why did the Mishnah even insert a problematic thought on number 4, which is really unnecessary to disrupt the pigle process? Which in any case wouldn't take off because you're missing that force. Putting aside the interfering thought, you're just missing it because it's not actively pigle. The answer is like this. Sometimes the Mishnah would express itself in the latter part of a Mishnah in a similar, you know, it would pattern itself after the wording of the beginning of the Mishnah. So really, this added point is not necessary to the equation. I did a ton of Reisha Pigle v'chevel v'kareis. But since in the first part of the Mishnah, we discuss a different karban chatas, an external karban chatas, where although you're supposed to put 4 matanes on the 4 corners, but there only 1 matane is absolutely critical to the kashas of the karban. And likewise, pigle accompanying 1 matana would make it pigle. And the Mishnah there, in order to bring out the point, presented this type of equation. A story where the first one was done with pigle, and the second was done chuslim kaima. What's the halacha in that case? It's pigle. Because once pigle was present by the first matana, which is the critical matana, only one is really critical, and that activates the pigle, and it's too late to come disrupt the pigle. So even though he inserts another machshava, another interfering thought during the second, third, fourth applications. He's thinking shleim kaim, but it no longer disrupts the pigle process, which had already been activated and implemented. So in order to bring out that halach, the Mishnah, in fact, you know, included other interfering thoughts to bring out this point, that we disregard them. So basically, on account of that halacha and that equation, further down in the Mishnah, in discussing the different, the other karban chata, the internal karban chata, where it's a totally different system, it also included another interfering thought, which really is not necessary to bring out the point there. I did a ton of resha pigle v'chayav l'karis on account of the resha where the Mishnah sought to present in a case where, despite there being an interfering thought, there's still going to be pigle because the pigle on the first matana is sufficient, and there's karas, tana nami sefer likewise, and the sefer as well. The Mishnah presented a similar equation where there is an interfering thought, even though it's not really needed for the halacha. Possibly in Bakaris. So Mishnah, you know, has this case where by a carbon chatas apnimi, all four applications are critical. The only way to make pigul is if pigul accompanies all four applications, lacking which there's no pigul. For instance, if there's pigul only by the first, second, and third application, there's no pigul thought by the fourth, it wouldn't be pigul. It's possible by curse. The mission threw in okay by the number four, he thought shleimim coming, but really that's not the pivotal point. Even without that interfering thought, there's no pigul regardless because there was no active pigul during the number four. So lacking the pigul is what loses the pigul, not necessarily the interfering thought. We just threw it in to match the sequence of the Mishnah. Okay, but in any case, we have this machlokes between Ramei and the Chachamim, starting point of which is the Mishnah in Menaches, by the Koimetz and Levoina. Pigul only accompanied the Koimetz, not the Levoina. What happens? Ramei says it's Pigul, Chachamim says it's not Pigul. Two ways to learn. Is Ramei activating Pigul even with Chatzi Matur, even though the Pigul only accompanied half the process? Or all agree, pigul wants to accompany the entire matir. It's just that when you start with pigul, Reb Meir holds, the assumption is that you're just carrying on the same track. In which case, pigul, in fact, permeates the entire process. So the Chacham disagree. Unless you express it, it's not pigul. That's Rish Lakish's opinion. And he learned our mission accordingly. In the first part of our daf, we had an analysis on the pasuk of Vasa Lapar Kasher Asa Lapar. The word Lapar is Par Helen Davashal Tzibur, which seems to be unnecessary. Rather, it's to enable us to learn certain items to a different carbon by turning it local, by making it into the Par Helen Davashal Tzibur package. Now it's sort of local material, which can now be further transferred to the Par, to the Sora Vaidazara. And now we know that the same items apply all around, starting from Kohen Mashiach over to Paran Dovah Shel Tzibur and the Yisara V'Dezara. All of them have the same type of blood applications, and also in terms of the Yisaras and Shtei Akloyes on the Mizbeach. We learned the difference between the Tzibur being Chayte, where Hashem minimizes and mitigates it, Ibn Chibasai versus the Kohen Mashiach. We find the Lashon of Parach HaKodesh by the Mashiach, but not the Tzibur, because when the Tzibur is Seireach, it's most consequential. We concluded with the Machlokes, Rei Rabbanon, regarding how extensive the Pigul process has to be. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.